It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. Homelessness is usually thought of as an urban problem, but increasingly people in rural areas are camping. Living outside, they are often hard to see, sometimes staying in abandoned barns or houses or even in the woods.
But camps are everywhere, and people are camping every night in our country. Camping means you don't have a place to call home, to go into.
That story from the Ohio Valley Resources coming right up. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. Homelessness is often considered an urban problem, but a recent NPR survey found that a third of rural Americans say homelessness is a problem in their communities. In the first of a series of reports from the Ohio Valley Resource, Mary Meehan explores rural homelessness. Those working on the issue say it remains largely hidden, even as the region's opioid crisis pushes more people into need.
Tall with a wild beard, Charles Bowers folds into the passenger seat of my Honda Fit. We are going to visit rural homeless camps around Fayette County, Kentucky.
So do these camps have names?
No. Bush. We don't ever name them.
Until recently moving into an apartment, he'd been living in the wooded areas hidden from view. Bowers goes by the nickname Country, fitting for someone who figures he spent at least half of his 51 years living outside.
A lot of people in the world don't realize it, but they're one paycheck away from being out here with us.
He says it's a hard and sometimes dangerous life.
We'll go by where my hut was, where my wife died at.
Cindy Harrison died of hypothermia last year while he slept beside her. They were together 13 years.
She's a Cherokee Indian. She's old high cheekbones, old gray hair. She's beautiful.
Even after that tragedy, Bowers didn't get out of the camps right away. He says he's an alcoholic and couldn't quit on his own.
I tried to quit drinking out here, I'll tell you what, them seizures. I've had four or five in a day before, and they ain't no fun.
Those working with the rural homeless say it's a largely hidden problem, and a social safety net stressed by the region's profound addiction crisis means it's a growing problem as well. Jimmy Scott is volunteer coordinator for the Saving Grace Homeless Shelter in Letcher County. It's located in the rural southeast edge of Kentucky. He sees a sad pattern again and again. People may lose a car. Without transportation, they lose a job.
And when their options finally run out, you know, some of them are in tents even outside.
That can have a huge effect on health. Research shows that the unsheltered homeless often live far shorter lives than other Americans. Polly Ruddick runs Lexington's homelessness prevention program and has worked with local officials around the state on the issue. She says many are blind to what is happening in their own communities.
And I had mayors, I had judge executives flat out tell me to my face, my community does not have homeless people. And my response was, yes, you do. You just either choose to ignore it, or you really don't see it.
Some of the region's communities now have fewer ways to help as the opioid crisis strains resources. Jenny Ramsey runs the Catholic Action Center in Lexington. A decade ago, she says, someone in the shelter who came from a rural place would often find somebody back home who would take them in. Not anymore.
The safety nets that have been in place are leaking. They always have leaked, but they're getting shredded.
At the Hope Center across town, officials are trying to change that. They're building a sober community with 48 apartments. Development director Carrie Thayer shows off the work in progress.
These down here, we have three classrooms, community rooms.
She says it was clients who had completed the Hope Center's recovery program who pushed hard for the apartments.
They were ready to turn over a new way of life, but the hardest thing for them is finding safe and affordable housing.
The studio apartments have hardwood floors and big windows. The first residents will move in later this summer. Country Bowers also has his own apartment now and is sober. He works for the Catholic Action Center on outreach and advocacy. That includes visiting the camps he once called home not too long ago.
See, when it rains, this creek comes from up here. It gets deep.
Stopping in front of a thicket of bushes, he lifts a hand as a signal.
That's what you're looking for right there. you know.
Barely visible is a patch of blue tent framed by bushes. Bowers spots another tent and moves on. He has many old friends here. He calls his brothers.
Well, going down here, my brother might be down here. He's been out here a lot of years, too.
He's helping his brothers in a new way. One tent at a time, he helps to bring this hidden problem into view. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Mary Meehan in Fayette County, Kentucky.
The Ohio Valley Resource is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and this station. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. It's just about 7:49. We're expecting increasing cloudiness today, and it's going to be fairly humid with a chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures today will be in the 80s. Mostly cloudy tonight with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows tonight will be in the 60s. Tomorrow, becoming mostly sunny, breezy, and maybe a little bit less humid with high temperatures tomorrow in the upper 70s and 80s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by Me A Cup of Coffee, serving craft coffee, tea, and espresso beverages inside Charleston's Capital Market and their new Elk City location on Charleston's west side. And by the West Virginia Power, presenting PBS Kids Character Day, June 28th. Curious George, Daniel Tiger, Clifford, and others will be in attendance. Information and tickets available at wvpower.com. In a recent episode of Inside Appalachia, we explore the role that craft beer and craft spirits have in our economy and in our culture. But in a region struggling with substance abuse, is more alcohol business a good idea? Alcohol is, after all, just another drug, even if it is legal and socially acceptable. Liz McCormick sat down with two professionals from West Virginia University who run a program that helps students cope with alcohol.
My name is Kathy Ura, and I direct the WVU Collegiate Recovery Program.
And I'm Andrew Carl, and I'm the program coordinator for the WVU Collegiate Recovery Program.
I want to start us off by sort of looking at this culture of substance abuse that we see across Central Appalachia. It's obviously, you know, it's no secret. We're in the middle of a drug epidemic, an opioid and a meth epidemic in Central Appalachia, but our region has struggled with substance abuse for a long time. Where does alcohol abuse fit in with that struggle? And is there some connection between alcohol abuse and other substance abuse issues that we hear about?
So all substance use disorders, which includes both, opiates, meth, alcohol, all impact the brain in a serious way when they're misused.
I consider alcohol another drug, even though it's socially and culturally accepted. In terms of it affecting the brain, in terms of its addictive potential, in terms of its potential to kill people, it is a drug, and it's a very dangerous drug.
And so, of course, drinking is a big part of our society even still. Obviously, it's something that we see everywhere. It's you go to a restaurant, you go out with your friends. Drinking is a big part of our society. But it can be confusing to tell the difference between social drinking and an abusive situation. What do you tell people to watch for in either themselves or in their loved ones when you're trying to identify if there is an abusive situation when it comes to drinking? What are some of those warning signs?
A lack of ability to control your drinking, whether that's drinking more than you intended to or drinking when you said you wouldn't. It's also continued drinking despite negative consequences. It would be drinking to the point that it's affecting your daily life, whether work, family life, your social life. If drinking gets to the point where you're missing work, then it's probably something that needs to be looked at.
It isn't always so straightforward for people, I think, because it's hard to admit that you have a problem. But I think the idea of if you ask those questions, do I have withdrawal symptoms? Do I seem to have to use more to get the same feeling? And is there, you know, have I been lying about my use, or is there consequences?
In this episode, we're talking about craft beer and craft spirits. And there are a lot of people in the Appalachian region who are really excited about that coming to their region and being sort of new economic drivers, bringing jobs and bringing tourism. But obviously, having more alcohol coming in and having that as an industry, it doesn't come without risks. Should people be more cautious?
One of our students suggested that maybe some of these, you know, local craft brewing companies could make an effort to contribute to the various recovery efforts in West Virginia, and sort of a show of good faith, a show of solidarity with the people, recognizing that even though it is, you know, a significant economic opportunity, there are downsides to alcohol and alcohol consumption.
And, you know, just going along with that, you know, I think it's an individual's mindset, and that they also become very educated about, you know, substance use disorders, and to be able to be open to ask those questions if they do engage in craft beers or spirits. And but, you know, a lot of it's just education.
So I'd like to hear a little bit about the students that you guys work with. Tell me a little bit about these students that you help or who you help find recovery. What are some of the things that you work on with them, and how do you help them either identify or practice safe drinking habits, or is there even truly such a thing as safe drinking?
I can say that I always knew that students who are trying to, you know, go within their the boundaries of safe drinking, and they were in recovery, it didn't work. Our program really provides a place where students can have fun, can meet other students, do activities together, find different ways of enjoying our beautiful state. You know, we have so much here to do outdoor-wise. We also do a lot of learning how to self-soothe, some mindfulness training and meditation, yoga, even how to just learn how to, you know, create good, healthy meals together. So there's lots of things that, you know, I've learned from these students. And drinking doesn't need to be part of it.
Thank you both so much. Is there anything else you'd like to add regarding the issue of recovery and drinking and where drinking sort of fits into the mold of economic drivers, but also to be safe at the same time?
Alcohol consumption is a part of our society. Most people do it relatively safely without serious consequences. It's just a part of the world we live in, and as people in recovery, we sort of have to learn how to navigate that environment. But it's possible, you know. It doesn't have to be a situation where we just cut ourselves off from the world. We can still live in the world and go out and have fun and enjoy life and enjoy all the same activities just without consuming alcohol.
You know, that's why I wanted Andrew to come today, because I know that he's living it and lived it and understands, you know, the importance of how someone in recovery can prove that recovery is real.
That was Kathy Ura, the director of the West Virginia University Collegiate Recovery Program, and Andrew Carl, her coworker, who is himself in recovery. They were speaking with Liz McCormick. If you or someone you know is struggling with substance abuse disorder, including alcoholism, or if you have a question about recovery, there's a toll-free number for the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. That's 1-800-662-HELP. 1-800-662-HELP or 1-800-662-4257. We've also posted more information on resources about alcoholism, substance abuse, and recovery on our website, wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Chuck Anzalevich.